The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's a busy day in the NFL as the new year starts. The free agency news and notes around the league. Also, the trade of Odell Beckham Jr. to the Cleveland Browns, making the Browns dangerous. They were fun, dangerous last year. They're getting more serious now in a division where it's kind of regressing a little bit when you think about what the Steelers are losing, what the Baltimore Ravens have lost, Cincinnati not really doing much. But in case you missed it last night, Gonzaga fell to St. Mary's at the WCC tournament. The Gales, they did what no team did all season. They made Gonzaga grind out their offense. This is the highest scoring team in basketball, and they love playing fast. They love playing open, and the Gales made them grind it out. And when you hold Gonzaga to 2 of 17 from the three-point line, you're going to give yourself a good chance. They held Gonzaga to 47 points last night, and the number one team in the country goes down at the WCC tournament. Listen, this is the fun time of year. I've been saying this all week. This is conference tournament week. This is where it starts heating up a little bit. Like, you get a lot of opening round games early, and they're kind of like, no offense, but they're kind of bad teams that are playing just to kind of get in, kind of make a little bit of move. While everybody who's good and the teams you want to see are on buys, some don't play until Friday, maybe Thursday. So early in the week, you get some of these kind of playing conference tournament, like seeds 14 is playing. But now it's going to start heating up as these tournaments start really taking some shape. Some really good teams are going to start taking the floor. ACC tournament, like I said, the SEC tournament, Big Ten, et cetera, until we get to Selection Sunday, which is really cool because it's where college basketball, everything that you've built comes on display and you present, your team. You give your team to the public, right? You give your team to the committee to look at. If you make a run in the conference tournament, you're on the bubble. Do you have enough to get in as an at-large? Do you win the conference tournament outright to win it? But Gonzaga, the number one team in the nation, was trying to get a number one seed in the tournament, could still do it, but a good win for St. Mary's, beating Gonzaga, the number one team, and doing it the way you're supposed to do it if you're going to beat Gonzaga. Make them grind it, and they did. Held them to 47 points in a poor shooting night for the Bulldogs. We'll talk more about the NFL and Odell Beckham next.
Waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting.
Kane is in the building.
Is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio
and on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, give it up to the Cleveland Browns. Trading their first-round pick, a third-round pick, Jabril Peppers to the Giants for Odell Beckham Jr. This is great at John Dorsey, who came into Cleveland and said, all right, we're changing it. We're doing something. Look, this is bold. It's great. It's going to work. If you're one of those people that just mires yourself in draft picks and you love draft picks and you find value in draft picks, too bad. This is the move you make if you want to get over the hump. But it also, and it's something we've been talking about, it is also a sign of where the changing of the guard could be in the AFC North. When you think about the Browns and how fun they were last year at 7-8-1, I mean, it's 7-8-1. They were a blast to watch last year with Baker Mayfield. They were fun. And now they're even funner. Is that a word, funner? Is funner a word? I'm making it up right now. It's now funner.
It is with the Browns. Now, listen, I mean, how many teams have we, in recent memory, can you think of trying to find every possible playoff solution from like week 14 on?
Oh, I know.
With the Browns. I mean, we're saying, oh, if this is happening, this happens. And, you know, if they went out here and these teams happen. I mean, I know we do the playoff scenario thing year after year after year. But as a country, we all surrounded one team. And I think that's what's different. We always do it for our own team. But I don't think as a whole we went there and said, come on, the Browns, you guys got to be able to do it. Even if it sacrifices something for our own teams. Like, we want the Browns to make it.
And think about what Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland got Kareem Hunt, right? Olivier Vernon. They got Sheldon Richardson. Hey, Kareem Hunt, we'll see. I mean, obviously, he's got his issues. But you know, we'll see. But nevertheless, I mean, if he can play, we never doubted his ability on the field. We always just wondered, off the field stuff. But he wasn't.
But they still have Nick Chubb.
They still have Nick Chubb, right?
And he was okay last year.
And yeah, I mean, Baker Mayfield, as exciting as he is, okay, so you're John Dorsey. This is what you're doing. You're making these bold moves, and you're basically saying, listen, I'm all in. The old system of, well, we'll just get draft picks and see if they pan out. No, they're like, no.
Yeah,
We've done this forever.
For 20 years.
For 20 years we've done this. Now we're going to go out there and we're going to take those picks and turn them into one of the most exciting players in the NFL. And listen, I know, and again, it is okay. And this is what makes the NFL great. It is okay in the NFL to strip it down and start all over again. Because you don't have to take forever to do so. If you're the Giants and you're Giant fans, it is okay. This is what happens when you get to a position where you have a quarterback that gets older. The Steelers are going to do this too. Ben Roethlisberger is going to come to a dead time. Manning's age. He's going to leave. Phillip Rivers is going to leave. You're going to get a younger quarterback. You've got to rebuild. You strip it down. You start all over again. Take a couple of years to do so.
Yeah, in a way, you can almost say the Steelers are somewhat doing it now, albeit a backwards way of doing it, not just being out front and saying, we're stripping it down. You know, just saying, we're not going to sign Le'Veon Bell to a long-term contract. We're tired of Antonio Brown's antics. But in a way, they are kind of stripping it down. Like, you know what? We're slowly getting rid of our pieces again, and we're going to start fresh.
And I think for the Giants, if you're going to go down this route where Saquon Barkley is going to be your offensive star, you're going to go after a young quarterback, put a young quarterback in there. You got a lot of holes to fill on defense. You got a lot of other places that you need. Great. That's fantastic. Where does Eli Manning fit in the picture? But this is a clear sign. Listen, I like it from the standpoint of sometimes you need a reset button and you need to take a year or two. One of the things about, my son has gotten older, you know, he understands this more, but when he was younger, you know, I had to tell him over and over again about the NFL and like, okay, you may root for a team. And some years you go into seasons knowing it's not going to be your year. You know that the team is trying to do some different things so that down the road, there'll be a level of consistent play and then you'll get that. So some years, you know, hey, this is the year we're going to stink, but it's okay because it's not like Major League Baseball, where if you're a team that just can't be competitive on the free agent market and you're not going to go to the playoffs, you may not go to the playoffs for 20 years. The NFL, if you don't go to the playoffs for 20 years, that is all on you. That is all on you. This is what we've said about the Browns forever and a day. There is no one to blame for the Browns' failure than them. This isn't a, the NFL is not about big market, small market. It's not about any of that. Everyone is under the same system. Everyone's got the same amount of money to spend. Everybody can wheel and deal their dollars whatever way they want. No one else to blame. You can't blame local revenue. You can't blame ticket sales. You can't blame anything. You have the money. It's how you spend it. And if you spend it poorly, you stink. If you spend it well, you win. And Dorsey has come in and said, listen, I'm shaking this thing up. What we've done in the past, how we've done it, we're changing this. We're doing something different. And let's say Odell Beckham is a bust. Let's say it doesn't work out. Let's say for whatever reason that he just doesn't do the same kind of things there that he did in, with the Giants. It is still the right move to make today. It is still the right move on March 13th to make. In retrospect, we can look back and say, all right, maybe it didn't work, but it's still the right move, and it's going to be the right move because you have to do something different in Cleveland. Everything you've tried has not worked, and you have nobody but yourself to blame. So take your first round pick, take a third, take Peppers, trade him to get an exciting football player like Odell Beckham. And now you have Landry and Beckham on the side. This is great for Cleveland. This is great for Baker Mayfield. This is great for a young team that is on the rise.
You almost feel bad for Jabril Peppers, though.
Yeah,
because back
you're right.
In the day, if you got traded away from Cleveland, you were sitting there going, yes!
Thrilled.
Right.
Celebrating as
where
you're
am
leaving.
I going? I'm going to the Giants? Oh, man. They, you know, big media market. They're in contention. And now you're getting traded away from the Browns. You're probably like, no. It was playoff bound.
It's amazing. And they still have, I was reading earlier, they still have cap space.
Yes.
Right? They can go after Earl Thomas. They still have money to spend. This is you used to kick around Cleveland every year. Oh, now you can't.
Now you got to take it seriously. Now it's,
amazing.
I'm almost cautious of saying it, but they are serious contenders in the AFC.
Yep. I agree.
I don't know if they're Super Bowl bound yet. I mean, we have to kind of wait and see. But if they don't win the AFC North, I would be shocked.
Oh, I would
at
too.
This point.
I
feel like that's too much pressure. But
I know. No kidding.
We got to see how they look.
No, I agree
first.
With you. Yeah, that's the one thing. This is like we're kind of playing rotisserie football here, right? I mean, we're kind of playing Madden football where you just plug in some players. Yeah, we'll see how it all gels. But like I was saying before, this is who knows what Odell Beckham will be like with Cleveland. I think he'll be great. I think he'll be fine. I think this is a fresh look. He's playing with a really young, dynamic quarterback.
Who actually is talented.
He's talented. And can get, we'll get him the football and all that good fun stuff. And, listen, there was whatever was not working with New York. It wasn't, he just couldn't blend there.
I mean, and how do you think he feels this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday or whenever it came down. I mean, You're sitting there going, it's like, yeah, I got Jarvis Landry, and then, we did sign Kareem Hunt. We'll see how that kind of works out. But they kind of have it almost feels like they have a two-back system similar to what the Saints have.
Yeah.
Where they have someone who can really grind it out between the tackles and then somebody who's a little flashy, flamboyant, that if you get him to the outside, he's gone. And they have a young tight end as well. Let's not forget about that guy. David Njoku.
Yeah, that's right.
He is going to be a name, and you're going to see his name pop up a lot more now because if you're a defense trying to scheme against these guys, who do you cover?
Yeah.
And they just have a bevy of riches that we're not used to saying the Browns have.
Now, this move by the Browns has now put the Buffalo Bills on the clock. Right, because the Browns were always the kick around last place loser team for a long time. Now you could say, "Oh no, Arizona has," but Arizona went to a Super Bowl 10 years ago. They made the playoffs, and this we're talking about long term. The Bills made that one little playoff run where they pretty much got a miracle fourth down conversion in order to get in, and then immediately lost.
Now, do we even consider that? the playoff?
No.
It feels like a little blip, that happened. Yeah,
and it wasn't even an awesome season. It was just a good enough season. It wasn't even like.
And remember, they needed help from Cincinnati.
They did. They got a big fourth down play. Did that? No, I can't remember. Did that fourth down play lead to a touchdown, or was it just a conversion and then later scored? I couldn't remember. But there was a big fourth down play. I think it led to a touchdown, and that they got against the Ravens. That got Buffalo in. So they needed help to get in, then immediately lost to Jacksonville, which, you know, hey, listen, no pride in losing to Jacksonville that year. Steelers did the exact same thing. But nevertheless, Buffalo has been pretty much futile for the last 20 plus years, right? Except for that one. So now the Bills are on the clock as the team. This could take Cleveland out of the basement of that conversation, because they were the butt of jokes forever, and now they're not. They're not. This is great for Cleveland. Good, man, this is great.
This is so bizarre, right.
It's so bizarre. I can't believe in 2019 they've got one of the most exciting teams in football now. And people would be excited to go there. Not just because they could get paid, right? It was one thing when Cleveland could pay you, and you're like, I'm just in it for the money. I'll just go there. I mean, but I'm getting $50 million.
One of the best things about this is when Twitter reacts. Because that is fantastic. And there were two tweets that stick out my mind about this. One was, don't remember. I think it might have been Marshawn Lattimore posted it, and it was a guy literally crawling on his stomach, not even hands and knees, on his stomach, trying to get back to his car. And it says Saquon Barkley after a game.
Oh, he's going to get. I'm telling you, stack eight in the box against the Giants, and just let him throw.
But the other one was, now we're waiting for it to come out of Cleveland is that LeBron's going to return.
Yeah, that's right. Now all of a sudden Cleveland's a hot city again.
Yeah, we
that's
go
right.
Back.
Oh my God, I gotta go back. I can't have the Browns steal my thunder.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I gotta be a part of it somehow.
Yeah, I know. I gotta be because LeBron would jump all over the Browns, right? I mean, if the Browns made it to the playoffs, he'd be at games. Like, he'd find a way to get to games. He'd skip NBA games to go be at their games. I mean, LeBron is all in. He's actually said he's a Browns fan, right? He wore a Yankees cap, which made Indian fans mad, but he said he always liked the Yankees, but he's always been a Browns fan from what I believe, right?
No.
He was always behind the Browns?
Well, no, he's always been a Cowboys fan.
Was he a Cowboys fan? Yeah. All right, I thought it was just Yankees.
No, he wasn't
a Browns fan.
I think he's been a Cowboy. I think he was. He threw his fandom to Cowboy. I remember seeing gear.
Weak. That's weak.
But you know, I mean, hey, you know what? I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that when you live in a city long enough, you start to become a fan of that team because you're surrounded by them. I'm still a Chargers fan. Will always be a Chargers fan. But I do have a small passion I have for the Texans because I'm in Houston. Same with you with the Titans.
Yep.
You know, you're surrounded by them. It's like, I want to see good things out of them. I want to see them do good. But it's not going to interrupt your Steeler fandom. And I'm going to give LeBron that out if he's listening.
Right. There you go. 800-777-2907. Again, you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. And spell Ron with two N's, please. That would really help. On SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, some more to get to on NFL free agency. Look, what's going down. Anthony Barr staying in Minnesota. He was going to go to the Jets, but then said, nah, changed my mind. But before we get to that, doing a repair that needs a special tool, O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy. This is great, the loaner tool program. So let's say you're working on a project, you need some parts, you get the parts, and then you need the tool. Well, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, they have over 80 specialized loaner tools available. So you purchase the parts and then put a deposit down on the loaner tool, return that tool in the original condition, then you receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. I'd like to look at the 80 specialized loaner tools to see if I recognize any of them.
Probably not. Hey, I have a quick question.
Yes.
I'm watching this infomercial. This is something that's always bothered me.
Right.
It's an infomercial for that bathtub that you open a door, sit down.
Oh yeah, if you're elderly or have trouble moving, if you're just need help getting in and out of a tub.
I get all that, and maybe I just don't know it, but that's got to be cold.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, think about it. When you're filling up a bathtub, you normally let the water run for a little bit, right?
Right.
Before, you know, so it gets a little warm, and then you plug up the tub. So that way you get a nice tub of hot water.
Sure, sure.
But if you're sitting in there, because you obviously you can't get in when it's full. You got to wait. You got to get in when it's empty.
Yeah, good point. Yes.
So right. You're sitting there and you turn the water on. I mean, is it like a... I don't get it. And then, yeah. And then the flip side of it, because it's one thing they never show you. They just show people relaxing in the tub, like, oh, you got jets and it feels great. But what about afterwards? You got to wait for all that water to drain.
Before you get out. Yeah, you're right.
So
that's a good point.
Maybe I'm missing something, but it's something that's always bothered me about that bathtub. How is that comfortable?
That's true. That's
It's comfortable when you're finally in it, but I don't know. Random thought for the day.
I like infomercials. I don't get to watch very many of them anymore. But I remember when they used to inundate your... When I was in college, they were on all the time. It was the all the time. And the one thing I bought on an infomercial.
Did you really go down that route?
Yes, we did. Me and my roommate. Me and my roommate were up late one night and we were watching. Do you remember the Juice Man? Remember, he was an old guy, had really bushy eyebrows, and he drank juice all the time. And he had this Juice Man juicer. And he was just like, that's all he did. It's all he did. I don't think he ate food. I think the only thing he ever did was juice. And we were up one night and we were watching this Juice Man commercial. And I said, I'm ordering one. And he goes, no, you're not. Yeah. And I said, yeah, I am. I said, all right, let's order one. So we called up and ordered one and we got a juicer. The first time we get the thing. So we get the thing, we realize, okay, we bought a juicer, how stupid. So we go buy a bunch of produce and we go back to the apartment and we start making these crazy juice concoctions, right? We're like apples and carrots and kale and pineapple, spinach, whatever we
getting
just
healthy.
Bought this stuff. Yeah, we're gonna drink juice, right? So we drank this juice and it was terrible because we didn't have recipes. Like there's no recipes to say.
Kind of threw stuff together and hope it stuck. Okay.
And hope it tasted good. Whereas if you juice today, there are books that say, hey, if you're going to use beets, cut it with some apples for crying out. Because, you know, beet juice isn't that really tasty. That kind of thing. We just threw this stuff together.
Beets.
But we didn't have a dishwasher. We had to wash all our dishes by hand in the sink. And juicers are horrifying to clean. They are terrible to clean. Maybe they're better today, but back in when I was a kid, they were terrible. So after about three uses, we went, oh, we're too lazy to keep this stupid thing up. And produce is expensive. We're college kids. We don't have any money for this. Go buy apples and oranges and vegetables. What are you kidding? No.
Yeah.
So we stopped. So I ended up stuck with the juicer. I think I gave it away to a friend of mine.
I'll tell you what, right now, one of the things that I saw recently that I want to get is the air fryer.
I saw that. Yeah.
That one, I'm like, all right, you know what? Yeah. I mean, just start really frying foods, but you're not using oil, and it seems healthier, I guess. I don't know.
I had a mini fryer in the kitchen once, and those are awful. Those were awful. I bought it because, you know, we French fries and some fried food, and I thought it would work out great. And my wife's like, what are you going to do with all that oil? And I'm like, I don't know. What do I do with all the oil? She goes, you got to get rid of it. Like, after a while, you got to dump it.
Yeah, don't you got to, you dump
awful.
It outside, right? Because you can't put it down the drain.
Hold on, you do. Let me look that up. I don't want to give people the idea, but I think there are certain oils that are organic and you can just dump them in the yard, they're fine. Like peanut oil or something like that. I think it's like just dump it in the backyard. And it's totally organic. I think that's how it works. But it was awful. The oil got all over the place. If you overfilled the basket, sometimes the oil wasn't hot enough. I mean, it wasn't.
Well, fun. I also know, like, from watching.
The air fryer sounds really good.
Yeah, the air fryer just seems easy. Yeah, because I also know, like, if the oil's too hot, it doesn't cook the food the right way. And if it's too low, it doesn't cook the food right way. You got to find, like, that happy medium temperature to get the oil just perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
To fry your food. I don't know. This air fryer thing, I'm fascinated by it. I mean, this guy just. I don't know. You know, that's the problem with the infomercial too. They all know how to cook with these equipment.
Yeah, they do it.
I mean, I remember we had the. I don't think I got it as an infomercial. It was probably bought it in one of those, you know, probably bought it where it was like as seen on TV type deals.
Right.
But it was the Ronco chicken rotisserie.
Yeah, did you like that? Did that work for you?
Yeah, we used that quite a bit. I remember using that. Like, I remember sticking like a steak in there, like a piece that you could like put beef in there.
Did it work?
Yes. It turned out awesome. I mean, it was like, you know, you just set it and forget it. And that was used to be a meal that we would just pop it in there and, you know, 45 an hour later, it would just be perfect.
Wasn't Ron Popeil the king of that stuff? He did all sorts of... He was the king of those infomercials?
Yeah, but it's all those infomercials. I also want to get that. And I have no use for it, but I just want to get it because this, you know, kind of reminded me of like the O'Reilly Auto Parts thing. That I don't even know what it's called. That black stuff, that black tape.
Oh,
I know you've seen it.
Yes.
Where they just slap it onto a hole and seals it completely.
They cut a boat in half and they were sailing on the water with that with the tape.
I have no use for it.
I know me.
But I want it.
That's so funny.
You know, you put it on with a paintbrush and I'm like, yes, I need that. I don't know why.
Seriously. They sawed a boat in half. And then they put this tape on the boat, and then they took the boat out to the water. Now, listen, I'm not accusing anybody. Maybe that was real, but I'm not going out in the water with a boat that is put together with any sort of tape whatsoever.
After a while, that could be a problem, right?
Yeah, that could be an issue. You better make sure that's good tape.
I mean, you took a solid piece of metal and molded it into a boat and then said, I'm going to cut it in half and put it back out on the water.
All right, coming up next, the college scandal that's rocking the nation and how it affects sports. That's next on SB Nation AM. Also, the good, the bad, the dumb coming up.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's a good, bad, and the dumb. Ron gives us, again, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Let's start with the good, my friend.
The good is free agency is getting crazier and crazier. What, the season officially starts today, right?
Yeah.
The new NFL season, it's like the NFL new year starts
it's the
today.
New year, yeah.
So with all the craziness that's going around, players flopping one place or another, I have a really like a heartwarming good tale. Coming out of NFL free agency. The Steelers will continue to pay Ryan Shazier this next season.
Yes, I saw this. Really awesome.
I mean, his contract was up last season, but they decided, you know what, you know, to keep the rehab going, they're keeping him, you know, keeping him on payroll for another year. Then franchise tag him, just said, no, we're just going to keep paying you.
You know, we all think, here's the thing about Ryan Shazier that I totally respect. I wonder... You know, because I can say I would react this way, or I would be this, or I would act like this if certain things happened to me. But I don't know until I'm there. And Ryan Shazier, I interviewed him at the Super Bowl, and I don't know what he went through in the immediate aftermath of that injury and realizing, man, I don't know if I'm going to walk. I don't know if I'm going to play football. I don't know what my life is going to be like. But I do know when I was talking to him at the Super Bowl, there was an amazing positive outlook that he had that I don't know if I'd have. Like, I think I'd go into a depressing funk if I was losing something that I worked so hard to achieve and it was taken away and I was trying to find another avenue. And he was really positive about his life. He was really excited about his future, where it was going. He didn't know where it was going, but it was good. So I'm happy for the Steelers on this. I'm glad. I'm happy for him on this. Who knows where, you know, what direction life is going to take him or what's going to happen. Or if he ever, I don't know if he comes back. I don't know. I'm not a medical doctor, so I don't know. My God.
He can't come back, right?
I don't think he can come back. I mean, he walked very gingerly when I saw him at the Super Bowl. I can't imagine he's going to play at a high level of the NFL. But I think this is the Steelers' way of just keeping him around. Just because.
Well, I mean, he's definitely a presence on the team. Time cut too soon. I mean, he would have probably been, you know, a Pro Bowler, you know, or close to being a Pro Bowl player last year, even before that, the injury never happened. And they probably would have re-signed him anyways. They probably had a contingency plan going, you know, we're going to make him a Steeler for life. This is just the right thing to do, and I'm glad that they're doing it.
It's very easy because it's a business saying,
hey, you know what, we've been dealing with a lot. We're paying out a lot. We're not, you know, we just can't afford to keep you around. We got to get this team. We got to go out and spend that money on you to a player who's actually going to play. And they have every right to do so. It's a business.
Yeah.
But just doing this is, you know, makes you realize that, you know what, the Steelers organization has always done things the right way.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, let's go with the bad.
The bad was, I mean, I was going to talk about how North Korea held their election. I don't know if you saw this, but King.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Kim Jong-un, 99.99% of the people voted in Korea. And the vote was unanimous. So I was going to talk about the, you know, how that is just amazing. I mean, it's very fortunate. I was surprised that they had that kind of turnout.
What a campaign he must have ran.
Seriously. But instead, no, you know, I'm gonna focus my attentions to this as being the bad. It was there was a real life Home Alone situation. Tony,
was there really?
Yes, a plane traveling from Saudi Arabia to Malaysia had to turn around after a young mother realized she had left her newborn baby in the airport terminal.
How does that happen?
I have no idea.
How does that happen? Did you forget you had a child?
I understand if you forget a bag and you just say, you know, can you radio someone to put it on the next plane? How do you you're attached to that thing at the hip?
Oh my God. Yes. How do you get on the plane and
I mean,
I think I'm forgetting something, but I don't know what it is. I'm going to sleep.
That's always been the fantasy part of the Home Alone movies, and you know, where we know like this would never happen. You know, kid can't just be left. You would never leave your son at home alone, or right. You would never have your son get on him get lost in an airport because you're running through it. And him going on one plane, you going on the other. I always make it a point, like whenever we were in amusement parks, I always made myself last. Made sure, you know, as my wife was in front, she's leading the way. I have three kids in front of me if they were walking. It was like we always made sure that was happening at all times. I don't know how you would forget a newborn.
Yeah, a newborn, forget it. I went on vacation once. My wife had to stay in Denver, and I went with my family to an amusement park when my son was little. And my wife said to me before I left, she said, "Don't lose our kids." And I got really mad. I was like, "What do you mean I'm going to lose my kids? That's awful. What a terrible thing to say to me as we're on vacation." And sure enough, we're at the amusement park. My son walked off, and I didn't notice. And we ran around the amusement park trying to find him. And we couldn't find him. We couldn't find him. We couldn't find him. And then we finally found him. He was crying. He was with an employee. We finally found him. So on the way back, I didn't know. You know, obviously, I was like, oh. So my kids were really little at the time. So I said, I have a fun new game called Let's Keep Keeping Secrets from Mommy, like things we don't tell Mommy. Right. Like, and she found out anyway, but nevertheless,
Daddy, like you eating the last Oreos.
Yeah. Right. Things we keep from Mommy. And this is one of them where you ran around crying because nobody was around and we couldn't find you. Isn't that funny?
It was fantastic.
We don't tell Mom. We don't want to tell Mom. Let's keep it a secret. This is great. And whoever keeps the secret the longest wins for like the next 50 years. That would be great. Thank you. my wife found out anyway. But yeah, I lost my kid at an amusement park. It stinks. But I didn't leave my kid in an airport and got on a plane and have it taxied on a runway and flew and went, was I supposed to have something? I forgot. Well, I guess I'll forget it.
Obviously, your newborn, I mean, you have probably a car seat or something that you're carrying the baby in.
Yeah.
Because if not, did you just set it down on one of those airport chairs and say, you know, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. I'll be right back.
I have a question and about this. Was the plane under any obligation to turn around and take her back?
No, I wouldn't think so.
Right? Like, couldn't they say, get the baby to safety, make sure the baby's safe, put it in with some authority figure, but we're not turning this plane around. Like, she can fly back when we land. She can fly back and get her baby.
I don't know.
But we're not turning the airline around.
Maybe Saudi Arabia to Malaysia is a long haul.
That's a long flight, right? So, but they could say, listen, the baby's going to be with the police and the authorities. They're going to take good care of, make sure the baby's fed, make sure the baby's taken care of. You land, you can get on the next flight back for forever. But we ain't turning this jet around. Are you nuts? What are you, crazy? But maybe she knew immediately as the plane was flying and she went, could you imagine the stewardess call for that? Ding. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I left my baby at the terminal. What? I guess I'll tell the pilot. Ding. Gosh, that's terrible. All right. What's the dumb? That was the dumb. What's the dumb?
Yeah. The dumb of the day, and this, you know, forgive me. I saw this story last week, right before I went on my little vacation.
Yeah,
and it's too good not to use because everyone knows I love millennials.
Yeah, you right? love them, right? Sure.
A man was angry. His photo was used to prove all hipsters look alike. So he threatened to sue this technology magazine, MIT Technology Review, only to find out it wasn't him.
Great. That's the best.
I mean, I'm sorry. You know what? Didn't they just prove the point right there?
Yeah.
I mean, they all totally hipsters do look alike.
They do.
They're
look
all
alike.
Wearing the same exact thing, same hats, you know, same scruffy looking beard.
That's classic. That's well done.
Oh, you know, I mean, just to the point where he's deciding to take legal action because he's upset that this magazine, I mean, it's such a millennial thing to do, first of all, is because their first thought was, you know, hey, they didn't ask to use my photo. I should be
right.
getting paid
yeah.
for this.
Sure.
You know, and that was the legal action. Wasn't a, you know, cease and desist. It wasn't take it off the internet or take it out of your magazine. It was, where's my money? Just to come to find out that, no, that's not you. You guys all look alike.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. That's awesome. So that's the good and the bad and the dumb. Well done coming back, jumping right back into it. That's fantastic. Good job. I'm glad you're back from vacation, my friend.
I am too.
You sound recharged and refreshed. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I am for today. We'll see what
I
happens
like
tomorrow.
All right, coming up, I got an idea for a documentary after watching a few this weekend that I think, Ron, you'll enjoy. I'll tell you about this next, coming up on SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Herzig with Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by our friends at Jeep. Got a tip today to save you money on your car or truck. Folks, spring is here, and that means it's time to think about doing some spring cleaning on your vehicle. Your paint job needs a good coat of wax every 6 months to protect the paint and the clear coat. You see, when they paint your vehicle, the last coat they put on is called the clear coat. Clear coat is paint, but it's paint without a pigment, so it's clear. This is what gives your paint job that really deep look and also protects it. So unless you want to end up having your clear coat turn chalky and look horrible, you need to protect it with a good wax job. Now, to do it right, you want to wax it by hand and use the best wax you can get. Just remember, if you don't see the water bead up on the paint, it's time to wax. Make it a family event. Wash the car, then get under the shade tree and save your paint job. This is Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by our great friends at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
Each spring, we lose an hour of sleep in the name of daylight savings time. But who needs rest when you've got a new Jeep SUV? Come in to the Jeep Freedom Days sales event now for great deals that more than make up for 60 minutes of not snoozing. Go anywhere, anytime in the legendary Jeep Wrangler, Motor Trend's 2019 SUV of the year. Travel in luxurious comfort with Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Take in more fresh air in Jeep Compass with its available panoramic dual-pane sunroof. And push your adventures to new lengths with Jeep Cherokee's 31 MPG highway. So hurry in for great deals at the Jeep Freedom Days sales event, or you'll miss out on more than just an hour of rest. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so Ron, I want you to hear me out on this because I think I've got a really good idea for a new documentary, okay? So my son and I have been doing this thing with the Civil War. And so do you remember the Civil War documentary Ken Burns did? Oh, my
yes.
God, like forever ago, like 90, 91, long, long time ago. So it's on Netflix. So we've been watching this. And First of all, Ken Burns' documentaries are really good, but I don't know if they hold up to a millennial generation that likes things to move a little quickly. His are really drawn out. They're kind of slow, but they're very in-depth and very personal. Like, there's stories that go along and whatnot. So I've been watching this, you know, the Civil War documentary. And we live near a Civil War battle site, and it's pretty cool and whatnot. So we're trying to do some research on it and whatnot. And so we were watching it. And I kid you not, the whole time I'm watching it, right? So Shelby Foote, who the late Shelby Foote, the historian, he would come on and he would tell like Southern, he would tell like stories in that Southern accent. Do you remember that guy that would go, he'd talk about like, well, you know, the Confederate soldiers would all stand around and they would, you know, eat bacon out of the pan. And one guy said, oh boy, I tell you what, them old Yankees better come down here. And then they would talk, then the narrator would come on and explain something or whatnot. So the whole time I'm watching this, Ron, all I kept thinking about was Captain Andrew Luck.
Yes.
The whole time I'm watching this. So I started thinking, Ken Burns, who has a sense of humor, by the way, he's done some fun stuff. I think he should do like a 30-minute Civil War level documentary on Captain Andrew Luck. Right? Just take the season, take a few games during the season and do it in the same documentary style as the Civil War that he did 30 years ago. I think that would be great, would it not?
Oh, right? It'd be fantastic. You kidding me?
You can't get Shelby Foote back because, again, he passed away. But you could find some Southern guy with a drawl accent that could talk about, like you could get a narrator to say, like, to protect Andrew, they went out and got a new general. General Frank Reich. Well, Captain General Reich was a brilliant, brilliant general. Back when he was a private, he orchestrated two great battle recoveries. One time against a unit in Maryland, and another time when he was a little older, did so in beating out back a group from Houston that was outnumbered him on a number of levels. But he was able to fight that back. So he was a strong, strong general, a good leader. And Captain Andrew Luck really needed that at the time. He really, really needed to have a guy at his back that really understood him and where he was going. And Captain Andrew Luck was a fine warrior, good guy in battle to have, but he needed a lot of other people around him. And went down to Tennessee one time. It was so funny. What old parson that said, "Oh, Andrew, you should throw the ball. You hit me on the head so many times. I got a little knocked out, a little bit concussion." But Andrew was a fine player. Captain Andrew Luck would go back out to Indianapolis, where he would take on the airmen of the Jets. It was a fine battle. One in which Andrew Luck was able to capitalize on 4 scoring opportunities, and he drove back the Jet men and drove them back to New York. It was at that moment they realized the battle was almost won. Ken Burns, you're a New Hampshire guy, I'm a New Hampshire guy. Make this happen. Make the Captain Andrew Luck documentary. You will love it. You will love it. SB Nation AM.